Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Ooh, I got some stories for you. All right, so first up, we got a guy who jumped in a pond to flee the cops, and then he collapsed on the shore, and he died. He died after he got out. This comes from the Tri-City Herald. At first I thought a gator got him, honestly. 43-year-old Justin Hogg, he was being served with a warrant for arrest. They drove down. He was trying to evade. It didn't work out very well. And he ended up trying to flee. And then as he got out of the water, that's when he collapsed. They took him to the hospital. I want to get to this story, too. Hang on. Which is the one I had? This one's crazy. Oh, here it is. All right. So a Florida man in a turn lane passed out behind the wheel of his car when 41-year-old Furman Apopka was arrested. The Lady Lake police, they found him in the turn lane. This was at U.S. Highway 27. And he had tons of beer in his car and a ton of empty cans. And there was like 25 empty cans in there. And when they asked him about all of the beer in his car, he said he had only drank 25 beers since 5 o'clock. Now, they arrested him at 10 p.m. Okay, so he was 10 p.m. in this turn lane, passed out. They said, what? And he repeated, he's like, well, I only had 25 beers since 5 o'clock. 25 beers and from 5 to 10 p.m. That's a lot. That's yeah. All the, but what? I mean, he's 41 years old. He's 5'4" and 160 pounds. Dude.
Beer every 12 minutes.
Yeah, that's insane. That is insane. So he was completely and totally right. At least he was honest with police about it. You know, he's like, yeah, I did it. What? I mean, an accused hit and run driver was arrested at a dance studio in Brevard County. A 24-year-old woman. She was involved in a hit and run. She hit a motorcycle with such force that it became lodged under her car. 24-year-old Rebecca Tate. And she kept driving. She kept going. It happened early Sunday morning, and it took West Melbourne police several days to locate her. She wasn't arrested at the scene because she fled, but they took her into custody at a ballroom dance studio. And the crash left behind a mangled motorcycle. It was crushed in by her vehicle, and the rider, John Powell, was left critically injured in the middle of the street. So she just kept going. So she's apparently a professional ballroom dancer. But she couldn't dance away from this. So she's got a slew of charges. And the whole thing was captured on surveillance video nearby, which you just kind of got to figure that that's, you know, it's going to be caught on something. This, let's see. A Florida woman stole a $2,400 baby bird by stuffing it in a bag. Oh, my. This is, if I can get this, because Safari's not wanting to work with me here. So apparently $2,400 baby bird, stuffing it in a bag. I'm going to try to open this up, but I'm not having a lot of success because Safari's the worst, absolute worst browser on God's green earth. But anyway, she ended up ultimately getting caught. It's My Fox 8 is the story, and she was captured on video doing it. And she was browsing the bird section. And I just think that when people are like looking at, you know, they're browsing, they're taking their sweet time like this, it just sort of feels, it just seems suspicious in the first, you know, just seems suspicious to me. But it showed her browsing the section. Then she picked one up and stuffed it right into her bag. 9:52 a.m. at Everything Birds, which is a store about 16 miles west of Tampa. And the store was getting ready to open. And the store owner said that, you know, they wanted the bird's safe return because it requires formula. It can't eat on its own yet. So they're investigating the incident. And $2,400 baby bird. That's crazy. Absolutely crazy. Let's see. I'm not going to be able to open this last thing, I don't think. I'm going to have to probably restart my whole thing. A 7-foot alligator did bite an elderly woman while she was walking her dog in South Florida. You got to be careful with this stuff. This happens a lot, and this is like the third elderly like attack involving an elderly woman. An 84-year-old woman was walking her dog in South Florida, and the gator, which was 7 feet 3 inches, apparently shot up out of the pond in North Fort Myers, bit her on the leg, according to Florida Fish and Wildlife. Her dog was uninjured. She had to get some stitches, apparently, and they Florida Fish and Wildlife, they had to go. They have to go and get the gator because, you know, you're attacking people. Good friends of ours over at Hillsdale College, founded in 1844. Hillsdale has made it easy for everybody to learn and take advantage of their resources. You don't have to be a student enrolled and attending at their campus in Southern Michigan. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college. You don't have to be there to take advantage of all of the fun and free stuff that they have to offer. The pursuit of truth and the defense of liberty have been hallmarks of their founding since 1844, and they achieve this by offering so much stuff up to the community. So, for instance, when you go to Dana 4, and that's F-O-R, 4hillsdale.com, they have, you know, their Free Speech Digest and Primus. They also have their Hillsdale College podcast network. So if you're like me and you love deep dives into historical issues, like, for instance, examining the drafting of the Declaration of Independence and what the founders thought of it, you know, towards the end of their lives, or how did the Constitution come to be? How did they come up with the amendments? All of this. These are all fascinating analyses that they offer over at Hillsdale from their authors, visiting lecturers, even their own president, Larry Arnn. And you can access it for free at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. They have tons of stuff to choose from. So choose your new favorite educational podcast today on the Hillsdale College Podcast Network at Dana4FORHillsdale.com. Tyreek Hill.
Why don't you have your seatbelt on? Why don't you have your seatbelt on? Like what? Why do you have it on? Keep your window down. Keep your window down. I'm gonna get you out of the car. As a matter of fact, get out of the car.
Give me that.
Mama. Get out of the car.
Give me that. We'll break the window.
Get out of the car. Get out of the car right now. We're not playing this game. Get out. 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 What part of blood don't you understand?
Hey, Drew. Hey, Drew. I'm getting arrested, Drew. I'm getting arrested. I'm getting arrested, Drew.
Apparently he's on the phone with his agent, wasn't he?
When we tell you to do something, you do it. You understand?
I'm getting out.
You understand? Not what you want, but what we tell you.
I'm getting out.
You're a little confused.
I'm getting out, bro.
Too late. Too late.
All right, bro. Take me to jail, bro. Do what you got to do, bro.
We are. We will.
Good, bro.
It is good.
Hey.
Don't worry about it. I hung up the phone.
All right. So none of this had to happen. None of it had to happen. So that's Tyreek Hill. He was dragged out of the car and arrested. And he was apparently on the phone with his agent, like while it was happening as well. And this took place in Florida. The police described him as not being very cooperative, which doesn't look like in the beginning that he was. There's a lot of stuff to unpack here. First off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Someone had said, I think it was actually him that did that. He said, didn't he say, he's like, well, what if I, what if I wasn't Tyreek Hill or something that got when he got pulled over? I think we got audio of this. Yeah. Like, yeah, listen to this.
And I saw that you said if you weren't Tyreek Hill, that you feared this could have ended a lot differently. What do you think could have happened?
Yeah, like, so the crazy part about it is I hate talking like this, man, but because I have a Kia fan base. But the reality of it is, it's the truth. If I wasn't Tyreek Hill, worst case scenario, we would have had a different article, you know. Tyreek Hill, you know, got shot in front of Hard Rock Stadium, you know, or that's worst case scenario. Or Tyreek Hill, you know, put in handcuffs and taken in and booked, you know. But it's crazy that, you know, me and my family had to go through this, you know. So
Hill's a wide receiver for the Dolphins, and they put out a statement as well. He was pulled over, and apparently he's pulled over for speeding, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Like he was speeding. In a construction zone. I've been pulled over before in a construction zone. I'll tell you about that in a moment. Juan is laughing at me already. I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear it. I wasn't even in a McLaren. That man was in a six-figure car. I'm so jealous of his car. Anyway, I'm not even going to tell you the specs about how fast that thing goes, but you know it goes fast, right? He was driving super fast in a construction zone, which is why he was pulled over. There were a lot of people who said that, you know, he was arrested, he's detained, he's booked. He wasn't, in looking at it, I mean, they dragged him out of the car because he rolled his window back up. He had tinted windows. He was forcibly put to the ground by officers. If he wasn't Tyreek Hill, I think the same thing would have happened. The same thing would have happened. He would have, I think that he would have been treated the exact same way. Because, and let me tell you just, and I'm a little white woman. I got pulled over speeding in a construction zone. I wasn't going as fast as he was. I was going 6 miles over. I got pulled over on a Sunday. And I was on my way to church. The officer did not care. That man did not care that I was on my way to church. He didn't care. And I get pulled over, you know, he's lecturing me about speeding. I had to go to traffic school and all this stuff. Oh, I totally did.
How
yeah.
fast were you going?
6 miles over.
What? You don't go to traffic school for 6 miles
I went
over.
To traffic school 6 miles over.
Yeah.
I didn't get the friendliest guy wearing the badge,
sound
okay?
Right at
didn't
all.
Get the nicest guy. Anyway, you know, I was going a little over, whatever. I don't know. Maybe he had a quota to fill. And he lectured me the whole way. And I remember when I handed him my driver's license, and I, you know, you always have your hands on the wheel, et cetera, et cetera. And I kept my hand on the door for just like a second. And he was like, ma'am, hands on the wheel. Like for a second, like my hand rested on it. I'm like, oh, geez. There was I've been pulled over twice. The other time I got pulled over, I did not have my sticker. I had my sticker that you put on your windshield, but I didn't have it like a fix, like your, you know, your tag. It was literally in my, because I threw it in there and I was in a race. And I was taking one of my kids to school and I got pulled over. And I rolled my window down, and I rolled it down. I just wasn't even paying attention. It was like that much of it was up. And it was in Grapevine, Texas. And the cop that pulled me over, and even though I had my thing in there because it wasn't affixed to my windshield, I still got a citation. And he told me, he was like, I need that window all the way down. I mean, it was like up that much because I just did it real quick and, you know, I had my hands up, all that stuff because I was carrying and I, you know, all this. And that was, so it doesn't matter if you're Tyreek Hill or not Tyreek Hill. Do you realize that traffic stops are where most of the time when cops are, when something goes sideways, it's at a traffic stop, number one. Number two, he didn't need to roll his window up. Everybody knows that. You don't roll your window back up, especially if you got a tinted window. Cops need to see what your hands are doing, etc. Some people were saying that cops escalated the situation. I don't know. I think you could maybe make an argument for the third dude who came in if you wanted to. But all of this could have been avoided if he had just kept his damn window down and his hands on the wheel. Am I wrong on that? I mean, that's, if you dislike the way things are, the time to contest it isn't at that moment with cops. That's not the time to contest it. And he was speeding. And you know that you're not supposed to speed in a construction zone. And we have Florida listeners that are in that area who have messaged and they've tweeted and they've put Facebook comments and they've actually emailed me. And they're like, there are signs that tell you don't speed in the construction zone because the fine is like, I can't remember what they said the fine was. The fine was hefty. He's going to have a hefty fine from this. So it's like you have the signs there. You know that you're not supposed to be speeding in a construction zone. You know, he was slow in producing his stuff. You know, it's like he hesitated, rolled his window back up. You just don't do that. You just don't do, because they don't know what you're going to do. They don't know. Are you supposed to get special consideration because you play football? I don't know. You can't be driving like a bat out of hell through a construction zone in traffic. And to have a, you know, your tinted window. The tinted windows, I don't really have a problem with. I don't know. Listen to this. Audio soundbite two. He says, this is, who did you say? Drew Rosenhaus, who says, this could have been different if he wasn't famous. Listen. Oh, wait, we played that one. That was the one we played. I don't think it would have been. I don't think it would have been any different. And didn't the cops say they didn't know who the hell he was? Two of those cops had said after that they had no idea who he was at the time. They were doing their job. They had no idea who he was. They had no idea what he was, you know. They were just trying to figure out, you know, look, you're speeding in a construction zone. And apparently he was going pretty damn fast. And y'all saw the traffic in that video. I mean, you saw a lot of traffic there. I mean, that's just not the smartest thing to do. But you don't roll your window back up. You don't roll your window. Look at it like this way. What if that was like your brother or your husband? Or what if your wife was conducting the traffic stop and the guy rolls his window back up? You don't know what he's doing in there. You don't know. And consider that the majority of these situations where there's an officer involved shooting happen at traffic stops. Tell me who escalated what when that window rolled up. You tell me what the escalation was. Because I'm thinking if you're rolling the window up when we're doing this, that's escalating. You're escalating. I don't know you. This cop didn't know him. He didn't know him. He doesn't. And look, I love that people play football. That's all great. But I'm going to tell y'all something. Not everybody knows who you are. I literally don't know who this man is either. I know absolutely jack crap about football. I do not know who Tyreek Hill is. I don't know. I just know that a guy is look at all the construction stuff in the video that Juan was just showing. You got the signs that tell people to slow down. You got the warnings. You got damn lanes closed. You can't be driving like a bat out of hell through there. And apparently he was going fast. He wasn't doing what I was doing on Seckman Road, 6 miles over in Jefferson County, Missouri. He was going fast. And then he rolls his window back up and he's not complying. Steve is dying at me right now because I don't know who Tyreek Hill is. I'm sorry, I don't know football. Baseball's different. I don't know football. Because the big debate is, well, who escalated what? And people are trying to race bait on. How are you race baiting? These are Hispanic cops pulling this man over. How are you race baiting? That's so stupid. That's so lazy. Stop. Just in situations like this, you don't be rolling your window up. And you just be polite and you handle it. That's it. You handle it. And you said what? There's body cam footage of him. Play that. Is that footage? I don't think we can play the audio on it.
I don't think we should play the audio because I have not been able to hear this just yet. Can. But I pulled the body cam footage of just before the actual
stop.
And it looks like that you can see him go right past the cop. Pretty quickly, all these cones in the road, everything, you know, it's construction area.
Yeah.
And this is just to show
you. Oh, he flew. Oh, he's flying.
Right. That's just to show you that there wasn't like some.
He is flying in this video.
Targeting of Tyreek thing. This was literally.
I'd have pulled him over too.
Yeah. It's cops doing their job.
Look at all the lane closures in that footage that we're showing you on the simulcast. Look at that. The cops got to go. I mean, he was flying. That's wild. You got it. Can't be doing that. I mean, that's a great way to get pulled over in these zones. But to race bait about it or act like it's a racial thing, you know, I mean, the posted speed limit was apparently 40. And I think what was it? He was going like 60 or something over.
Yeah, somewhere north of that.
Yeah, he was over like 60 miles per hour. I don't think he was going 100 miles per hour. No. I don't think he was going that fast. I saw some of the reports that were saying he was going that he.
Yeah, I think people were just saying 100 to make it sound like he was just going fast.
No, he was going fast. He was driving like a bat out of hell, but it went 100 miles per hour. That's stupid. That's just as dumb as race baiting. But it is. He was like, well, he thinks that he would have been shot if he wasn't a famous football player. But again, the cops were like, we didn't even know who he was. He said he rolled his window up because he didn't want people to see that he had been pulled over. Maybe you should have thought about that before you're going 60 and a 40 when there were people doing construction work. And you saw in some of the footage, there were construction workers in the street. You know, I guess it's okay for, you know, what about them? Do we care who they are? Are they worth nothing because they're not famous football players? I don't know. Like, whose life was being gambled here? I think it's self-indulgent for Tyreek Hill to say that this would have ended differently if he was not a football player. I think that's self-indulgent. I think it's selfish. I think it's self-indulgent. And I think it's that's stupid.
The truth would be it would have ended up differently if he just would have handed his stuff over and been like, you know, I'll pay my ticket. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah.
That's how it would have been different.
And if he just like kept his window down, this could have ended. So I think he escalated it personally. He did. Look, there's a lot of stuff there's a lot of bad policing. If you want to criticize policing, I stood on a stage with a bad cop. I don't need to be lectured by a single damn person about bad cops. I sat next to a fat ass bad cop named Scott Israel in Florida. So I will not take lectures from anybody on that. He escalated the situation. Tyreek Hill did. And to sit here and make it out like, oh, this would have been different if I wasn't, you know what? It would have been different if you would have not been gambling with those construction workers' lives by going 60 and a 40 in a construction zone with traffic. How about that? People who will bring you free radio over at Kel-Tec, the P15. It is the lightest, sleekest, smallest, and yet most powerful 9mm double stack mag that you could get. And it's from the inventors of the micro compact pistol category. You have two versions. You have the polymer. It's a striker fire pistol from Kel-Tec polymer, and then the metal frame version. Metal frame, I have both, but I'm kind of partial to the walnut wood panel on the metal frame. Just very James Bondy, super, super classy. You got two mags that come with it. Standard 15 round with minimal pinky extension. You also have a flush fit double stack mag that holds 12 rounds. Tritium and fiber optic front sight, fully adjustable fiber optic 2-dot rear, keeps you on target. Lifetime warranty from the inventors of, again, that micro compact pistol category. No stopping power, super concealable, quality made right here in the US of A. Innovation performance, Kel-Tec. Learn more at KelTecWeepons.com. That's KelTecWeepons.com. It's the P15. Tell them Dana sent you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So, a bunch of apple juice that was sold at different Walmarts and Aldi's, BJ's, and Walgreens. They said that there's an apple juice recall because of elevated arsenic levels, according to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Great Value apple juice. That's the Walmart brand. Refresco, a few others. Now, apple seeds have a level of arsenic in them naturally already, but apparently they said that they had no reported incidents, but something, it goes beyond there, whatever, I don't know. Just check the website. Let's just look at their, because apparently, I don't drink a lot. It's just all sugar. Who drinks apple juice? I didn't even give apple juice to my kids. It was all sugar. Yeah, just eat an apple if you want apple juice. A casket controversy has been solved. This is a wild story. So, this is Macomb Daily. A casket controversy was solved in this town. They said that there was apparently somebody in a casket in a local park in a photo that surfaced online, and no foul play was involved. It was an open casket with a floral arrangement and somebody sitting at a nearby picnic table. And they said that it was a funeral director from New York who was transporting a 97-year-old from New York to Mount Olivet in Detroit. She was a Warren resident who passed in New York. And apparently they wanted to say their goodbyes prior to her burial. And I guess that's what it was. Like, they said it was like a, they wanted to honor their, I don't know. It was, I don't really care. It's some dumb family that decided to do something I don't give a rat's ass about. Move on. I don't care. I've already lost. I want to talk about the lobster roll. Chris Sununu apparently saved a choking contestant at Hampton Beach lobster roll eating competition. Yeah. I'm still not a fan of them, but lobster rolls are delicious. And can I just say that I just think it's cruel to have a lobster roll eating competition because that should be savored and not like mowed through. That's my beef or my lobster. That's what the problem with it. Nation with lowest birth rate is rocked by the soaring sale of dog strollers. This is in South Korea. It is a big thing in South Korea. People and their dogs, and they're dealing with a low birth rate, and they're saying all these people are treating dogs like kids, dressing them up, walking them around in strollers. And I will say, I had a stroller for Rocco when he had back surgery and he couldn't walk, and to get him around from room to room so he wasn't alone, it was just easier instead of picking up all 30 pounds of him, picking him up every time. We put him in a stroller and he was happy in there, and it was just, it worked out because he couldn't walk very well and we had to rehabilitate him. Let's see, a croissant-shaped lamp bought on Temu. Is it Temu or Temu?
It's Temu.
Temu turned out to be an actual croissant. Yeah. So on social media, somebody on TikTok said that they bought a croissant lamp. And she said that she came home from work and there were tons of ants on the package. And then she realized it was actually a croissant covered in resin. Temu, the cheap Chinese brand. She said that's what it, that's actually, it's like one of those, it's like a lamp. It's a lamp that's like shaped like a croissant. So it's like a globe. And apparently it was literally an actual croissant. Is that not something that did she read that in the, I don't know. Syphilis is at its highest level since 1950s. Quit being skanky. They said, here's how to fix it. I'll tell you, quit being skanks. Super easy.
But I do want to ask you about this CNN report. It shows Harris voiced support for cutting funding for ICE and for using taxpayer money to fund transgender surgery for detained migrants in 2019. Does the vice president still support those positions? And do you expect her to address them tonight?
Listen, I think, you know, these old questionnaires are a complete distraction from the task at hand right now. I think the vice president, frankly, what the American people are actually asking about, right? What the American people are concerned about and what they're asking about is who's going to solve for border security.
Oh, my gosh. What? That's so OK. That's one of Kamala Harris's spokesperson, Michael Tyler. And ahead of the debate, he's refusing to walk back the her position on the decriminalization of fentanyl and taxpayer-funded transitional surgeries of people who enter the country illegally. And how do you not have this come up at the debate? How do you not have it come up? Million-dollar question. Welcome back. Dana Lash with you. Of course, we're going to be watching this debate. You can join the subscriber event that we're having. We're having a live chat during the debate. I'll send out an email to you subscribers. It's over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. It's the link in all of my social media profiles, and you can see it everywhere. It's always in all of our videos and all of that. But we're doing a subscriber event for the debate. And, of course, tomorrow, it's going to be a humdinger. Juan and Steve probably aren't going to sleep because we're going to have so much audio. It's going to be so crazy. We're not going to play bingo because I don't think we can make the bingo thing big enough for one piece of paper.
And a drinking game's not smart.
Yeah, no, the drinking, because we're not responsible for killing you. So that's not going to... not going to happen. But this debate is her test. I made this observation on social media. This is her. I mean, because it's her big test. She has not campaigned, really. She's done a couple of very controlled events. And I am amazed that the media has been. Well, I'm not amazed. I know that the media was going to be all in for her like this. But consider Tim Walz. Now, nobody really knows Tim Walz outside of Minnesota. And he doesn't do any sit-downs. The only sit-down that he did was when he was with her because she couldn't do an interview by herself, and that was a disaster. So nobody knows who he is, and name recognition is so important. This will be an election that is going to be studied in terms of propaganda and when I was in high school, my high school actually in the late 90s, they actually offered mid to late 90s a class called Mass Hysteria. I know, right? Go Fox High School. I don't know if they still offer it or not, but they had a class called Mass Hysteria, and I took it. I was a sophomore, junior in high school. And it was actually one of the most educational courses I ever took in high school. Legit. I learned a lot from that class. You could take current events or you could take Mass Hysteria. And I took Mass Hysteria because I was fascinated by, and it looked over, you know, everything from the Cultural Revolution. It looked at the Holocaust, all of it. And even in modern times, it was a conservative class that was taught conservatively. So I don't know if it would be offered or even be remotely the same anymore. But as I grew up, I could see everything. I saw how all of this played out because of this class. And some of this has to do with the way that she's being not reinvented, but repackaged to be more palatable to America. Because everybody knows that nobody liked her. Her own party didn't like her. The media hated her. And now she's, you know, the candidate. I mean, the regime switched them out. So this is really her first big test. No, I don't consider her previous debate performances when she ran in 2020 to be relevant because she was at the she was on a very crowded stage and she was at the very bottom. If you remember, she was always on the very end too, because that's how they structure who is where. If you're leading, then you're closer to the center or you're right in the middle. And she was never leading. She was, again, she didn't even merit first place. Poop Booty Juice beat her. So I don't consider that to be consequential or relevant. This is really the first time the nation, it's on ABC, usually, which still I think is more progressive than not. But for something like this, it's not so much siloed as CNN versus Fox or MSNBC versus Fox. I don't know. The New York Times poll has them very close. As some of the surveys that we talked about, they're close. Trump could really, and I think this should be his job tonight, to put an end to once and for all the media's attempt to rehabilitate her or recast her as a moderate or as someone who is unaffiliated with Biden. Everything Trump does, every answer must be choreographed to tie her to Biden and force the perspective to see Kamala versus Trump, then Trump versus Kamala. That's how it's going to have to be. And that's a tall order. I think if he's focused, he can do it. But that's a difficult task, really, for any candidate. But I think he can do it. But he can't. He needs to be folksy. And he needs to be focused. Here's the other thing. Populism is a tactic. It is not a belief set. I hear people say that they're populists, and I think that that's an incorrect phrase. You can be a fan of the tactic, but it is a way of delivering messaging about your principles and about your belief set. So you can be a conservative who likes populist tactics or likes populism. But I think to say you're a populist just means you're a tactic. I don't agree with that. The reason I bring this up is because too much populism is bad. Populism is like salt. A little bit just seasons it perfectly. And I say this again as someone who leaned on it heavily as one of the founders of the modern day Tea Party movement, because that got kicked off using populist messaging. Absolutely. But at some point, you have to realize that you can oversalt. And then you can lose sight of the goal in the messaging, in the fog of messaging. And I bring this up because the left, and by the way, populism is not just something that the right can use. It is a tactic that is historically used by everybody. That's why I'm like, I don't want to say you're populist. The left has been using it quite a bit lately. They've been using it to try to battle the right, to go after those blue collar voters, to go after the Rust Belt, to try to shore up that blue wall that Biden lost. Or that, not Biden, but Clinton lost in 2016, and Biden really didn't do much to restore it in 2020. So they've been using a lot of it. You don't want to have populist versus populist. You want to be able, and one of the great ways that you can shut populism when it's all populism, and that's what the left has been doing, is just that tactic. They don't, what do they have to put in there? All they have is the way that they can say something, but they don't have the substance. They don't have the policy. If you ask them, what are you going to do about the border? What do you think about the border? Have you gotten a legitimate answer from the left, from her or any of her surrogates? All you get about the economy is we're going to tax the rich, and then we're going to make it harder for investment into small businesses through taxing capital gains over what communist China taxes. You realize that our tax rate would exceed that of the CCP. That's not hyperbole. That's truth. All they have are platitudes. They don't have anything substantive that you can actually go, okay, this is how this would work, and here is the logical course of this. They don't have that. They just have their messaging. So Trump has to just nix it with concise, like, this is what I do. Boom, boom. That's it. Very simple. And if he can deliver it in 60 seconds or less, that it could be one of the greatest debate performances of his life. It's all him. But he's got it a hell of a lot easier than she does. Her word salad, when she gets nervous, she has all these tells. Everybody has a tell. And she, what she does is her brain will cyclically go back on these phrases to to give her, like, and she can say that because it's like muscle memory. She can reflexively say it while another part of her brain's like, okay, what do I got to say here? And as, even if it's a couple seconds, that's giving her a lifeline of a couple seconds to try to pull something out of her backside to throw out there. I feel like we're going to have a lot of that, because no matter how prepared she's going to be, and this is part of what it is to debate. When I would debate people, I would learn everything I could about that person. I would learn how to push their buttons. I watched their facial reactions. I'd watch everything that they've ever done. What makes them mad? What makes them happy? What's passionate? What are their tells? Everybody has a tell. And then when you learn through how someone speaks, if they're choreographed, when they're choreographed, when they're on script, he's got to throw her off that. So when he starts hearing her throw out these choreographed answers, he just needs to throw her off that in a very concise, short response to where she's got to tread water live on television. And that's really ultimately all he needs to do. If he can press her buttons and make her raise her voice up to a shrill level, all the better. But these debates are very much psychology. And her path is hard. She's going to have a hard time tonight. Very difficult time tonight. In fact, CNN, that's what they're saying too. Listen, audio soundbite 7.
Misha, let me say, it's not overblown to say this is the biggest moment of her political life. It's an incredibly consequential one. And there's still so much that people don't know about her, voters don't know.
Telling you. A lot that they don't know about her. Very interesting. Just saying. I mean, it's going to be a lot. It's going to be the first time a lot of America really gets to know her. Are you going to be watching?
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.